this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. To all you high strangers listening around the globe, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. Whenever possible, we go in the field to investigate. Oh, there is plenty to tell you about tonight. It's going to be a good one. Let's begin in Virginia, shall we? You know, it's funny. I'm always talking about the weird stuff that's happening on a consistent basis in Florida, but I'm starting to see Virginia stories sort of slip in there a little bit more often. Not as far out as the Florida stuff, though, but it's just popping up more. I've always thought there's something kind of eerie and creepy about Virginia. After all, when you go there now, it's peaceful and calm, and you see all of these noble patriotic monuments to the Civil War, but actually what that means is about 150 years ago, everybody just completely flipped out up there, and it was a bloodbath. I mean, when you start really breaking it down to some of the specific incidents from the Civil War. Anyway, this is a story from Stafford, Virginia, and according to the report here, a family is horrified, they say. The holiday season is supposed to be a time of joy, but in Stafford County, one family is suffering, they're saying, through tears, anger, and pain. They're being hammered by a barrage of emails from their mother's email account, advertising male enhancement, cheap Viagra, work at home, all this. So, you know, we're kind of used to that. What's the big deal? Well, their mother is dead. That's right. And they say they're just getting through the pain and the loss of the mother dying, and now they keep getting these crass emails. I know that this is insensitive, but I don't know if it's enough to horrify you, as the story says. But it is pretty bad that this can happen. Right now, they say that they are having big, big problems contacting Yahoo, trying to get the account just closed down. And this seems to happen often to dead people. I don't know if hackers pick up on that and know about it, but they say they don't think it's fair. They're having to continue suffering through being reminded of their mother every time they get these. And Yahoo, however, is causing some problems, demanding that they fax them all these documents and death certificates, even though, ironically enough, you can just Google the death certificate and find out that the woman is indeed dead. So you never know if you're getting mailed from somebody who is dead or alive nowadays. So the spirit can live on in one way or another. That's something that many of us can relate to, I guess, when it comes to all the junk mail, all the spam. You know, there are people who probably don't even know what spam is. They hear the word spam, they think of that substance that comes in a can. Whatever it is, this mysterious thing. For those of you who are not inclined to get on the net, it, you know, spam is junk email, basically. But hey, thanks for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Hardwood, Forrest Connor. How are you doing, Forrest?
Oh, fighting a little cold tonight, but I'm doing great.
Yeah, well, we had better temper ourselves because winter is going to be just kicking in soon. And what is it, like around the 22nd or something it kicks in?
It is.
So we're not even quite there yet, and I am dreading it. Oh, my goodness.
It is. Speaking of winter, you know, one of the big holiday traditions I like to do is I went up to Grove Park Inn here in Asheville a couple nights ago, looked at, and saw the gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, Larry, our favorite guy that runs the elevator was there the other night and just wanted to know how things were going with the whole lemur thing and how Joshua P. Warren was doing.
Well, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the radio, but not too long ago, I heard a really creepy story about the Grove Park Inn's Pink Lady. Have I mentioned anything recently on the show about the Pink Lady?
No.
I don't think. Okay, no. Good. So I need to share this. Of course, for those who don't know, the Grove Park's most famous ghost is the Pink Lady apparition. According to the legend, in the 19-teens or 20s, she was pushed or fell off of a balcony in the Palm Court area to her death, and so now she roams and haunts the place. Well, there was a lady who came on one of our Haunted Asheville ghost tours, and if you're listening and you're online, go to Speaking of Strange.com for a live chat during the show, and you'll also find a link there to hauntedasheville.com, where, you know, that's, we have, the museum is about to open in a new location, and a lot of cool stuff there. Anyway, a lady came on our ghost tour who was staying at the Grove Park Inn, and she said, "I have to tell you about something incredible that happened to me." She was staying in room 545, which many people think of as the most haunted room, the Pink Lady room, right? So she had gotten into town and was running late already because she had her dinner arrangements made there in the hotel. And so she kind of ran into the room and threw all of her bags and her camera and all this stuff down on her bed and then ran off and had dinner. And after the dinner, she came back into her room and realized that her camera looked like it was turned on. And at first she's like, "Oh man, how'd this happen? I hope my battery's not all run down now." So she picked up her camera and realized that not only was it turned on, but it had taken a photograph. Now, she was the only one staying in this room. So she hits the button to go back and see the photo. And in the photo, you actually see her room. It's the inside of room 545 from the ceiling looking down on the room.
Wow.
Now, talk about that little chill that runs down your spine. Okay, I don't even know how you would get that kind of angle, really, as a human. It's like something,
a set of scaffolding and a ladder and...
Maybe you'd even have to be above the ceiling to get the camera high. You know what I'm saying? Your body would have to pass through the ceiling or something. So we said, please email us this photo. And we haven't gotten it yet. But that's a good one because physical stuff like that can happen at Grove Park. Anyway, so much to talk about tonight, and a person who is no stranger whatsoever to apparitional phenomena is in the studio with us, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. What do you think about that story, Shelley?
No, it's deliciously creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
I
well,
love it.
Have you ever spent the night in 545?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That room is in demand. I'm doing a couple of big events at Grove Park coming up soon. They're private events. They're for private groups, but people hire me to go there and still do tours and speaking engagements and so on. And I'm going to be going back to 545 soon, and I think I might bring some toys with me.
Well, there's a shrine outside the door.
Yeah. Once in a while, it's almost like kids are leaving notes for Santa Claus.
Exactly.
But instead, they're leaving notes for the Pink Lady.
And I went on a tour with you one time, and the couple that was on the tour didn't realize what room they were staying in, mm-hmm. and they couldn't tell anybody that they went to this conference with about their experience, but they had something happen the night before.
Yeah, they actually saw the Pink Lady, apparently, in there.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, soon we're going to be up on our first break, but let me tell you one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, okay, in addition to all the wild news. Imagine if we actually found another planet out there with humanoid beings living on it. And there is speculation that, you know, we may have found one just recently. It was just announced not too long ago. There is a planet. It's about 300 light years away, I think. 600 is hundreds of light years away. But it's in that Goldilocks zone, not too warm, not too cold. In fact, they think it would be very comfortable, about 72 degrees Fahrenheit, with liquid water on the surface. Imagine if we found some civilization like that, and whether or not we could communicate with that civilization, we were able to observe it, just watch it with a telescope, and we're learning about these aliens and how they behave and why they do all these things that they do. And one day, out of the blue, all these aliens around the planet just start stringing up colored lights all over their houses. And then they go out and they start chopping down trees and dragging them into their house and decorating them. We say, why are they doing this? You know, we're sitting there using all of our logical senses trying to determine why on earth these aliens would be lighting. Are they trying to send out a beacon for transportation, communication? You know, what's... And it would take us a long time to figure out, well, they have this holiday, apparently. And then you'd say, well, why do they do what they do for this holiday? And obviously, I'm alluding to Christmas here. Not everybody on the planet Earth celebrates Christmas, but sometimes we get so used to doing the things we do around holidays that we just stop to... We really should stop more to step back and ask ourselves, why do we do these things? Why are we just used to this? Because if you go to some colony out in the jungle of, you know, some, you know, reclusive natives, what they do looks very weird to us. We can't figure it out, but they have their own mindset about what these things represent. So I think whenever a major holiday comes around, it's important for us to pause and look back at why we do the things we do. And Christmas has a lot of misconceptions swirling around it. There are people who they are used to doing something. They think it's normal to do it, and that's why they do it. Well, we're going to go back tonight, and we're going to look at why we do some of these things and why that some people actually might be a little bit egotistical to think that how they do things is the right way to do things and everybody else is wrong. Okay, it's strange. Our holidays are strange, and that's what we talk about on this show. It's called Speaking of Strange. The show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back with some pretty, I think, kind of weird news from New Jersey and why you need to be very, very careful how you dress up there for the next little bit. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange, we'll be back right after this.
I got your
Speaking of strange, the show that demonstrates the summit of man's enlightenment and the pit of his dark depravity, a wild, spontaneous ride into this weird, surprising, and often twisted world. Thank you for spending your evening with us. I am Joshua P. Warren, and we have a lot to talk about tonight. It seems like the whole world is becoming weirder and weirder as we get toward 2012. In fact, I may have some news to share with you regarding that. And get a load of this. I'm sort of planning some of the things that we're going to do over the next few shows. And for our first show of 2012, which is going to be a few shows away, the plan right now, guys, is to have, for the first time ever, in the studio with us, a mentalist.
Really?
That's right. A professional mind reader. His name is Keller O'Neill. And I just met him yesterday. It was coincidence. It was mere chance. Some would say it was the fates. But I won't go into detail. We bumped into each other, and it turns out we have a lot of common interests, and so he says that he's going to come in here for the first show of 2012 and sit down and read your minds and blow you away. And this guy is supposed to be so good at what he does that this is his sole income. He travels around the country. He does about 20, 25 shows a month, he said, for everything from, you know, resorts to corporate parties. I mean, he's been all over TV. So they call him the Southern Charmer. And he's dressed in a tuxedo. And he's kind of the old-fashioned, I guess, sort of 18th and 19th century type mentalist. So anyway, that'll be interesting. But does that frighten you a little bit, Shelley?
Well, I don't think I'm frightened. I think it's, I don't know how much we can actually say on the air. You never know. I might have a dirty mind.
Well, we'll have to wait for the dark 30 hour to read your
mind. I might.
But he says that he makes no bones about it. He says, hey, I do this for entertainment. And that's cool. We want to be entertained.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But he told me that honestly, even though he gets hired to do a gig and he tries to entertain people and he uses some tricks, he does some things that even he cannot explain. And I hear that a lot from magicians. They go there to entertain. They've got the tricks up their sleeve. But once in a while, they do something magical because they believe they're doing something magical because they're acting the part and something magical happens. So anyway, that'll be a lot of fun. Keller O'Neill. Let's see here. Before I tell you about this next story, I also want to throw out a little promo here. If you go to sunshinesimple.com right now, you will see a news report that ABC News 13 did about the Sunshine Simple generator. I'm explaining the device. I'm talking more about it. You're even on there, Shelley, talking about the units that you've purchased.
Yes.
And I've got it posted there at sunshinesimple.com. This is I believe it's the best solar generator for your home in the world. And the winter is going to be hitting us hard soon. Some people are already losing power.
So go there and at very least watch the free video and just see what's available, okay? And that is one of the big sponsors for this program. So listen to this. In New Jersey right now, they are overrun with bears. I did not realize this. Did you know anything about this, Forrest?
Yeah.
I know they have some significant mountains in New Jersey. You don't really think about that usually, but they do have some rugged territory. But bears there have become such a nuisance that wildlife officials decided to issue licenses allowing people to go out and shoot bears freely, basically. And so they issued the first, I think they're going to do this for a week. They issued for this week period 6,400 permits.
Wow.
The first day that you could go out and just shoot a bear at your leisure was Monday, this past Monday. On Monday, 200 bears were killed. That one day in New Jersey. And now let me clarify something for you here. New Jersey is a state that is one-sixth the size of North Carolina, okay? So you could fit New Jersey in this state six times. They have 6,400 people running around out there shooting the hell out of bears and whatever else might happen to get between the bear and the guy. So that if that were scaled up to North Carolina, that would be like 38,400 people running around this state shooting things. That's almost half the entire population of Asheville out shooting at any black furry thing that's moving that happens to be a little bit on the big side. So the lesson here is this might not be the best time to do a Bigfoot hoax in the New Jersey area. Or maybe even dress up as a gorilla, say, for a car wash promo, a birthday party. Maybe not even want to wear a fur coat or anything similar. Maybe not even a black coat, come to think of it. Because there are some people who are just itching to shoot things of that nature in New Jersey. And, of course, there are animal rights groups that are just horrified by this. 200 bears in one day.
That's awesome.
You're digging this, huh?
Yes.
So if you were in New Jersey, you'd be lining up for one of these, huh?
Why not?
But here's the thing. Hunting is so dangerous. This is a story that's very sad, okay? If you haven't heard this, this is truly a sad story. This comes to us from Vermont, and this happened maybe a week or two ago. In Vermont, these three guys went hunting deer together. And apparently, two of these guys were best friends and professional hunters. So one of the guys fired at a deer, one of the professional guys, and he accidentally hit his friend and killed him. So the two guys who are, you know, they go running over here and they see this man die in the woods. His best friend had accidentally shot him. They're standing there crying, and the guy who killed his best friend accidentally just turned his rifle around and shot himself in the head and killed himself. So here at the end of the day, you got this. You can just imagine, like, this dude is standing there.
Is that what happened, or is that what he said happened?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, fishy, that's a good story. Uh-huh. But no, they are saying that they believe the guy, that he is not suspected of murder or any foul play. The guy's in shock. You know, you can imagine he was probably quivering and blood-covered as he told this story of watching these two men die in front of him that he went out to go hunting with that morning. But according to all the medical examiners and everybody else, no foul play. They say that, the attorney general there said, or I guess it's just the state's attorney, said it is deemed to be a homicide only because he was shot by another man. But there is no level of intent here. It is a tragic accident. So That's the thing, you know. It's like this is a situation where these guys went out just to kill animals, and at the end of the day, they had killed themselves. That's a twist ending of some sort, and terrible, right? But you know what? What makes this, as if that story were not sad and disturbing enough, they also say that one of the guys, let's see here, the guy who shot himself, he was already in a bad state of mind because that last January, his 18-year-old daughter was killed in a snowmobile accident. So there's just this string of dark, you know, cursed luck, if you will, if you want to call that luck. Hey, we got to take a break. On that down note, when we come back, I'm going to tell you something that might lift your spirits a little bit. It's about a guy, a robber in Chicago, who ended up just getting the crap beat out of him. And I'll explain why that happened. And then I'll tell you a disturbing story about a guy who decided he didn't want his girlfriend anymore because the girls at the gym looked a little better. I'll tell you what he did to her. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. SpeakingOfStrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more info on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour, our Facebook page where you'll find many of these stories posted, Twitter, I guess that's there, you can go to JoshuaPWarren.com for the Twitter thing, and also info on how you can advertise on the program. We are very, very good at reaching a large audience all around the world. That's why we've been on the air here for 8 years. And we are heard on the Atlantic and the Pacific and around the world online. It's Speaking of Strange. It's always kind of nice when you hear stories like this one from Chicago. A convicted felon, 24 years old, walked up to a car and decided to apparently rob the man inside. He did this at 11:30 p.m., asked the driver for a lighter. The driver said he did not have one. And so the robber pulled a handgun, pointed it at the driver, and demanded money. The man in the car gave him some money, but that wasn't enough. Then the robber ordered the driver out of the car. At that point, it became a survival situation. What the robber did not know, the man in the car, a UFC champion. That's right.
Yes.
Ultimate Fighting Championship martial arts expert. He waited for an opportunity when the robber's attention was diverted. He grabbed the gun, was able to get the gun tossed aside, and then it was open season. I have seen a photograph of this robber, and he's basically purple and bumpy and just looks like he's had a really crappy day. So we'll see if we can get that posted on the Facebook page for you if you haven't seen it. The robber charged with armed robbery and aggravated discharge of a firearm. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention this. During the fight, apparently, the robber got a hold of the gun again and accidentally shot himself in the ankle. So that guy got instant karma in every possible way. He shot himself and got the crap beat out of him. And so, yeah, that's come to us from Chicago, and I'm sure the UFC champion is quite a hero now. I avoid using people's names on this show, but I'm sure it'll be easy enough for you to find that out for yourself. We all envision being able to do that when a robber comes our way, right, Forrest?
Exactly.
You never know what you're actually going to do, but as long as it's one guy, we can handle it.
Right.
It's when you get a group of guys. It's like I was in Chicago one time with some of my buddies, and our car broke down, and we were in a bad neighborhood. And we, at one point, were surrounded by a group of shady characters. And we started thinking worst-case scenario, but fortunately, all they wanted was our parking space. So we just
you're gonna give up your parking space, ain't you?
Yeah. We just used our manpower and removed our car, just rolled it away so these guys could have it. And we were delighted to do that. Let's see. Okay, now this is one of those stories that is disturbing. And it comes to us from the UK. It's about a young man, 25 years old, who was living with his girlfriend, who also happened to be the mother of their young child. And apparently, according to the prosecutors, he started telling some of his friends that he was getting bored with her, that she was not as good looking as the girls he was seeing at the gym. And so he changed his Facebook status to single. That's when you know something's about to happen, right? And then he and a buddy stunned her with a 300,000 volt taser gun, bound and gagged her, put her in a box, sealed it up, drove to a wooded area, dug a shallow grave, and buried her alive.
All he had to do was break up with her. Duh. He didn't sound like he's a prize. Anyway, I'm sure she wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Well, you know what's weird? For one thing, he says that the stun gun was not as effective as advertised, that she was not completely paralyzed. It was a big pain to get her in there. And this was, and I've got the news story in front of me. They put her in a quote-unquote computer box. So if that's the kind of box I'm thinking of, she was like doubled over or maybe tripled over and crammed into a little box. They put two holes in it to allow air in. Why would you even do that?
Because they're from the shallow end of the gene pool.
After they buried her, they found a large branch weighing about 88 pounds and put that over top. And it says, well, she was not unconscious, and so with great difficulty, she actually clawed and dug herself out of this box and the earth covering it, and now she's there in the courtroom to tell her tale.
You've seen that scene in Kill Bill.
I knew you were going to bring that up. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's exactly what you think of. I mean, have you seen Kill Bill, Shelley?
I've seen parts of it.
Do you know about the buried alive scene?
No.
I would call that a classic movie scene, wouldn't you, Forrest? It's like it's the best buried alive scene. But in her case, you're watching the movie and you're like, how is she possibly going to do this? Because she's in a wooden box that's been nailed shut.
I'll tell you how she did it. She was pissed.
Well, she in this movie, I'm not talking, I'm the woman.
No, the other woman.
That woman was. But in the movie,
right.
The woman was in a wooden like casket and it was nailed down and she was several feet under. And she starts,
two inches of
clearing space. And I think she takes her boot off and uses the heel of her cowboy boot or something like that to pound her way out. And, in fact, the Mythbusters even tackled that to see if it was physically possible. And I think they determined it wasn't, that, like, once the coffin broke, all the dirt would crush her or something like that. But anyway, this woman did it. But can you imagine, though, thinking that this might be how you're going to go? Because she went through this thought process. I'm in a box, buried, and you can hear the dirt being thrown, you know, the pebbles rattling across, and then you hear the car engine start up, and you're buried alive. And you're thinking, this is how I'm going to die. And now she lives to tell the tale and report this to the accused. So it's almost like that. I don't know if they didn't really want to kill her or they just wanted her to suffer.
I think they were just stupid.
Yeah. No, I don't see how. Anyway, all of these criminals who do these things are really stupid, actually. You know, there's just no reason for it. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about something kind of creepy and to some very shocking that was found in an amusement park. And also a new report about the end of the world, the Mayan prophecy, and 2012. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year.
Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance. But then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust a move.
And we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk some about the origin of Christmas. And it's important, I think, whenever we celebrate a major holiday to stop and remind ourselves about where it came from. And I'm not talking about, remembering what everybody thinks it's all about. I'm talking about remembering what it really stems from. Each of the little decorations, each of the traditions, they all don't make a lot of sense. It's kind of like when Easter comes around and everybody says, well, this is about Christ being resurrected. But where did the bunnies with the eggs come in, right? I'm talking about where do the actual traditions that we use to express what it's supposed to be about, where do they come from? And it's always something pagan, really. So we'll dig into Christmas a little bit more in the next hour. And then, of course, later on, it'll be the Dark 30 hour. I was talking before the break about something at a London attraction that's gotten some headlines. And, you know, to me, I find this sort of thing quite interesting, but not that surprising, really. Apparently, in London, there is an attraction called the London Dungeon. And for those who don't know, it is a Madame Tussauds type of tourist spot. You know Madame Tussauds wax museums, Forrest?
I do.
You ever been to one?
I have not.
Really? I've been to the one in New York City, and I think there was... Oh, well, there's one in Gatlinburg also I've been to.
Really?
I think... Well, maybe that's not Madame Tussauds. There's some kind of wax museum in Gatlinburg. Anyway, I went to the one in New York, and it is kind of uncanny. It's weird because when you see these celebrities, in the lighting that they have provided, they look incredibly real. Because they actually get the celebrities to come in, they measure them, they take molds, and I mean, they make them hair by hair, pore by pore, and they look real. But then you pose there, and you have your picture made, and the pictures come out, and they look really crappy because the flash bounces off the waxy skin, and they just don't photograph well. But when you're there in person, some of them look so good that, you know, you if you didn't know the difference, you'd think it was a real person. So anyway, this London dungeon thing, you can imagine what it's like. You know, stepping back into the old ages of torture. And they claim that there has been this one exhibit called the Creepy Crypt there on display since 1975. So we're talking for about 36 years, something like that. And it has a dummy skeleton inside of, you know, some kind of cage-like thing. Well, turns out, after all these years, it's not a dummy. It's a real skeleton there. All these people have been looking at a real skeleton saying, wow, that thing looks incredibly realistic. And somebody said it looked so realistic, they decided to examine it. And they've been shocked to find that a real human skeleton has been on display there. And it says here in the news story that in England, you need to have a license now to display a real dead body or dead body parts. And so they have now confiscated this skeleton. The Human Tissues Authority says it needs to be licensed properly for £2,000 a year. That's like four grand a year in U.S. dollars or something. I mean, not quite $4,000, but, you know, like $3,200 or something. I don't know. It depends on the value.
It's bureaucracy.
It is bureaucracy, and I think this is ridiculous because, not that I have a vested interest in this, but in London, you know, London has killed so many people throughout history. Corpses have lined the streets. You know how they used to sentence people to be hanged, drawn, and quartered? Do you know exactly what that means for us, to be hanged, drawn, and quartered?
Yes.
A lot of people in America, they don't think of it the same way. It's like Guy Fawkes and his conspirators were sentenced to this. Back then, when they said you'd be hanged, that meant that you stood on a platform and they put a noose around your neck and they pulled you up in the air for a little while, and then they dropped you. And then they pulled you up in the air and they dropped you. And the point was to torture you, not to just drop you through a trap door and kill you. They were choking you little by little. And you'd be pulled up, dropped down, pulled up, dropped down until you were considered half dead. At that point, they would then lay you down Braveheart style on the big table there and tie your legs and arms in different positions, pull you apart, and the first thing they would do, if you were a man in particular, is emasculate you. They would cut off your important parts there, your gender-oriented areas. And once they did that, then they would slice you right down the middle and start tearing your guts out little by little. And that's usually when you finally went unconscious, after enough of your guts were out and you'd lost enough blood. When that was all over, finally, and you were dead, they'd cut your head off, and that your head would usually go to the queen or the king as a prize, and then they would cut the rest of your body into four pieces and put them on display in each of the four corners of the kingdom as a warning.
This sounds like overkill.
Yeah. But that was the fate to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. And the thing about Guy Fawkes, the conspirator, and of course Guy Fawkes Day was November 5th, my sister's birthday actually, he was about to be hanged, drawn, and quartered, and he actually jumped and killed himself off the platform before they could do it, and angered everybody that he didn't get to be tortured. You know what? We're out of time this hour, but later we'll get into this story about the report regarding the end of the world and 2012. It'll maybe fit in somewhat, believe it or not, with our Christmas stuff. And that's what we're going to talk about when we return. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The fun continues with hour number two. Don't touch that dial.